Welcome Home, written by Margaret Dickinson, read by Anne Dover. Prologue. Grimsby, May 1945.
Edie? Edie? Are you there?
Lily Horton pushed open the back door of her neighbour's home and stepped into the scullery. Edie Kelsey, in her late 40s, was tall and well-built with a round face and short, glossy, dark brown hair. When she washed it, she pinched it into neat waves with her fingers and secured them with metal wave clips. The only time she ever visited a hairdresser was to have a trim. Until the beginning of the war, there had not even been a hint of grey. But the last 6 years had brought unending worry, and now there were little wings of silver hair at her temples. She was standing at the deep white sink, scrubbing her husband's shirt collar. She paused, thankful for the respite, resting her arms on the edge of the sink.
Put kettle on, Lil. There's a duck. I'm parched. How my Archie gets his shirts in such a state, I don't know. It's not easy being at sea, Edie. I reckon he doesn't take his shirt off from one day to the next, Lil. I bet he even sleeps in it.
Lil, smaller, thinner, and 3 years younger than her friend, had fair, naturally curly hair. Once, she'd been described as a pretty girl, with smooth skin, blue eyes, and a smile to melt ice. But the years of hardship had etched lines into her face, and deep in her eyes was a sadness that would never quite go away. She moved through Edie's scullery and into the room that was a cross between a kitchen and a living room. To one side was a black polished range with a fire, oven, and hob for the kettle. But this room was also where the family ate at the table in the centre, or sat in one of the two fireside chairs. Lil set the kettle to boil, and then from the sideboard laid out cups and saucers. Edie's tea drinking was legendary in the street, but today there was a very good reason for a celebratory cup. Lil went to stand in the doorway between the scullery and the living room.
He's really dead, then?
Edie had resumed her vigorous scrubbing.
Who is? She said absently, still concentrating on removing the last unsightly dirty mark from Archie's shirt collar. Hitler, of course. They're saying now that he'd committed suicide. Haven't you heard? But the Russians are doubting that he's dead at all. They think it's a trick to allow him to escape capture by the Allies.
This was probably the only thing that could have made Edie stop and turn round slowly to stare wide-eyed at Lil.
No. No, I hadn't heard. I don't listen to the wireless. Well, not the news. Or read the papers when Archie's at sea. You know I don't. I'll know soon enough if...
Lil nodded in sympathy. Her husband, Tom, had been lost in 1919, when it was believed the trawler on which he was serving had hit a mine left floating in the sea from the Great War. No hands had survived the disaster. Since then, she had struggled to bring up their only child, Irene, who'd been born 5 months after the tragedy. Sadly, Tom had never seen his daughter. And now that daughter was married with a little boy of her own, Tommy. But through all that dreadful time, Lil had had the help and support of her next-door neighbours, Edie and Archie Kelsey. Lil had always worked. She'd had to. Fisher folk looked after their own, and Lil had never been short of nets to make or mend, fastened to the wall in her backyard in fine weather, or in her living room in winter. She was employed by the Great Grimsby Coal, Salt and Tanning Company Limited, who manufactured all sorts of equipment for the fishing industry and was allowed to be a home worker because of her young daughter. But still, times were hard, and the recent war had not improved matters. Though she'd always had a roof over her head, her daughter, Irene, and good friends next door. Indeed, all the inhabitants of their street were friendly. A close-knit community, many of whom were involved in the town's fishing industry. The men went to sea together, and the women supported each other when their menfolk were away. The street where Edie and Lil